Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I was amazed at how much of the Sunday school we did today applies to the message. I shouldn't be, because the Lord does that a lot of times. To me, it's just a witness that the Lord has something He wants to get to us. So I'd like to think a little bit. I probably would title the message this morning, "The Process of Wisdom," if I was going to give it a title. And I'd like to start with scripture in James, first chapter. It says, James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." This is a promise that if you lack wisdom, that the Lord will give it to you, and He won't shame you for it. He won't, you know, as people can do, He won't make you feel bad because you don't have it already. He won't upbraid you about it, but He's freely wanting you to have it, and he'll give it to you. But what I've always wondered about in this passage of Scripture about wisdom, is this a promise that you don't know something and all of a sudden you do? I don't have wisdom and I wake up tomorrow morning and I have wisdom. I'm supposing, you know, there's an old idea that the old wise owl idea, or the old wise head idea. Well, I'm not convinced at all that having an old head makes you wise. I don't think that you get wisdom just because you get older. The idea, of course, is that if you've lived more life and took advantage of that life, that you would know more than somebody that hasn't lived life and lived the experiences. But I'm not convinced at all that everyone that goes through life learns their lessons and becomes wise at the end of their life just because they've had a lot of years there. Without being harsh or saying the wrong words here, I would be willing to say that there's a lot of old fools. There's a lot of old people that don't know what they ought to have known. But the Scripture does make a promise that if you lack wisdom, you can ask God for wisdom. And He's going to be faithful to get us wisdom, but I think God can give us direct understandings, but I don't think it's the way the Lord works, and that's what I want to think about a little bit, and we had a lot of it in Sunday school today. I want to think about the process of wisdom, how the process works. I don't think that you just get it, but I think God, in His wisdom and His workings with us, will allow us the opportunities. He will allow the right things to come in life to bring us wisdom. It was said, I believe, of the three Hebrew children of Daniel, that they had increased and become wiser. They had become wiser than all the wise men because of the process that God had put them through. They got an understanding of something that is hard to understand in the flesh. You just don't understand in the flesh. You have to understand that the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one to another. And the things that seem to make sense in the flesh doesn't necessarily make sense in the spirit. They're contrary one to another, where I would say pain to this physical body is bad. Physically, you would always say that, but you can't always say that in a spiritual mind. You can't always say that the things that are a detriment to the flesh, our fleshly lives, our natural carnal lives even, you can't say that that is necessarily a bad thing for eternity. You can't say that that's a bad thing spiritually. And so there is something there that has to be learned and understood, and a place that you have to, I believe you have to get to. There's a process of being able to get there and to understand these things. And the process works like the natural processes of life. You have to start out. You have to begin. It's like the idea of if you're going to have something stored up in the winter, you're going to have to gather in the summer. That's wisdom itself, to say that this is the outcome of that. But if we don't start the process, if we don't begin and to understand what is it going to help me to understand things that are really necessary to understand? Well, this scripture says to ask God, and He'll give it liberally. What a promise. What a promise. I can have wisdom literally. I mean, He's going to liberally give it to me. That means I'm going to have an overflowing of wisdom. Right? All you got to do is ask, and you'll get it, and He won't upbraid with you for it, and He'll give you a liberal amount of wisdom. But does that play out? So what the Lord has promised is that the things that you need to understand, the Lord is going to allow the circumstances of life. You're going to have to pay attention here. It don't wake up tomorrow with wisdom, just for asking. The Lord will send the things into your life. And, you know, there was a, you remember the passage of Scripture where Solomon, the Lord visits Solomon and says to Solomon that I'll grant you what you would. And Solomon's request was that you would grant me wisdom, that I might lead your people and all this. I've always wondered. Of course it was a divine gift. He was wiser than any man that ever lived on this earth, save for our Savior. He was the wise man. But I've often wondered, because the Scripture doesn't say, I think God did give him a special gift of being able to understand things and see things, but I think that he have had to have sat and looked and seen them. I don't think he could have put his head in the sand and got to the place of wisdom that he did. God promised him that I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to open your mind. I'm going to open your heart to it. But you're going to have to experience what I give you to understand those things. When Solomon started talking about the things that he'd done, doing what he'd done, it was because he had an understanding. He looked and he seen. Solomon's the one that says that I put my hand to everything I could. I put my heart to it. I my eyes to it. I put everything that I might understand. He said that I might understand, that I might have wisdom. I applied myself. The Lord said, I'll give it to you liberally. But the process isn't just that you ask and all of a sudden you get it. If the process is that you have a desire for it, you ask for it, God will allow the things to come into your life that'll make for wisdom. Now, how important is wisdom? Wisdom is very important in the dealings of life. I'm saying understand the natural wisdoms of things. You know, not to put Keith on the spot, but he's a farmer. Somewhat a farmer. I mean, he's a farmer. For what he does farming, I noticed he plants the corn and all those things. You just don't go, I'm assuming that you just don't know nothing and go put seed in the ground and think you're going to get full yield. You don't just go get a cow. You just, there has to be, and how do you get these things? By process. You get it by process. You've learned what others have learned. You learned what you learned yourself. You learn what works best for you. That's the process in all of life. It's valuable to life because you're looking for an outcome. You're looking for progress. You're looking for success in it. You know, it's the same way spiritually. God will be faithful to you. If you want to go to heaven, I'm going to make a proclamation. If you want to go to heaven, you can go if you want to with all your heart. There's not enough devils in hell to keep you out of heaven. God will make a way for you to go to heaven. If you want to know and to understand, God will make a way for you to know and understand. Your experience can be full, and you can say, well, I just naturally ain't a wise. We ain't talking about naturally wise things here. We're not talking about people that have great educations. We're not talking about the people that have great abilities to do these things. That's not what this is about. God can give wisdom to anyone that asks. Anyone that asks. Because there's a process that he's going to get this with. And Lord, help us to be able to understand what the value of what wisdom is to us spiritually. Because there's going to be an end. We're going to have to go through this life and be successful in the Lord. And I need to have wisdom to know where to get my hands off of something. Or I need to know where to put my hands to something. I need to understand what the Lord wants me to understand. There's a passage of Scripture I want to look at over in Proverbs, 19th chapter of Proverbs. Oh, let's see, 19 and 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Now listen, we call it talk and process. Hear counsel. Well, I don't want to hear counsel. I don't like to be told what to do. Heed instructions. Listen. If you read back in that, it's kind of talking about youth and coming up in youth. And the idea is to youth is that I know there is a human element that says, don't tell me what to do. There is a human element that says, I don't want to be instructed. There's a human element in that, but what the writer is trying to get to us is that you will be so much better off if you take counsel. You'll be so better off if you'll be of the heart and spirit of being instructed. If you'll allow yourself to be instructed. Is everything that people try to instruct you right? No, it's not. Not everything it is, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you having a heart. A heart to want to be counseled. A heart that will take instructions. A heart that says, a humility that says, I don't know everything. Lord, help us. I don't know everything. I've been living for the Lord for a long time. Over 30 years. I've been living for the Lord. Can't tell me anything about it because I've been there 30 years. I've been preaching full time. This is my credentials. I've been preaching full time since 95. So you can't tell me anything because I know these things. Now, don't that sound foolish? Yeah, everybody's saying yeah, because that is absolutely foolish to have that kind of a heart and kind of mind. Humble yourself is a part of wisdom. Being able to say, I don't know everything. I haven't experienced everything. I need to be counseled. I need to take instructions. I don't know everything. You buy something. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of a lazy attitude, but I'll buy something and I'll have to put it together. And I don't want to have to read the instructions to put it together. I won't have to do it. I like my best way. I want to see the picture and see the parts. Then I'll put it together. Well, I do that sometimes. And then when it doesn't work just right, I'm scratching my head and saying, oh, but there's this great thing called the instructions. And then I go read the instructions. And Dries and I put my meal together. It was all in parts and put the meal together. I don't want to read no instructions about that thing. I can look at it and tell you what the pieces was and put it all together. But the problem was with that thing, it had to go a certain way. And if you put tensions on those bolts in different places, if you ever put one together, I'll just tell you, you can't put tensions on some of those bolts because it's got to set a certain way, and I tightened them down. But you can't tighten them all down until you get them all together. Then you can go around tighten it together. But I didn't read the instructions. I just done it, and the thing wouldn't run the track right. And I'm like, there you go. There you go. You buy something new and it don't work. There you go. Well, I will tell you, instructions a little bit. We loosened the bolts and just now pop, and everything just lined up real good. It was under there. I'm just telling you, the writer here says, hear counsel. Be willing to take counsel. Listen to instructions. Why? Because there's going to be an end. That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. You know why that's important? It's important because there's times in our life that we're going to get into the place like the three Hebrew children were. That's why taking instruction leads to the end. It's like gathering in the summer. You don't always need it in the summer. There's plenty in the summer. But summer is the time of gathering. You can say, I don't need this because life's going good for me. Take instructions. Prepare yourselves. Jesus in one scripture says, and where he looks over Jerusalem and says, how often I would have gathered you together. There's something that belongs to your peace, he told them. There's something that you should have. But your wisdom wasn't with you. You had a peace here. You should have. This belongs to your peace. You had something here. But now it's taken from you. They didn't utilize it while it was time to do it, and now it's gone forever. This is what wisdom's going to keep us from. When we'll take instructions and become wise, we're going to have something. You know, ending this life with worldliness in our lives isn't wise. Now, if you're here today and you can believe, and you believe that there is a hereafter, and you believe that there is an eternity to go to, you believe there's a heaven or there's a hell to go to, this is very important. That you have wisdom, that you're wise in your end. That you've took counsel and you've realized that life isn't all of this. I can go through this life and be very unwise with my decisions, and I can have fun. I can give myself to pleasures. I can do everything that it seems like that the flesh would want to do, and I can do all of those things, and I can be somewhat successful in this life in business, and I can run life, and I can make money. I can do those things or pursue those kind of things. If there's a heaven and hell, how wise is that? Young man, take counsel. Take counsel about your life when somebody says things like, life is short. You're talking to somebody that really thinks life's short now. You would have said that when I was 18. It didn't seem short to me. It seemed like I had so much, but those years have fled away like a vapor. And now I'm at a different place, and I look sometimes. I remember a guy one time. It was actually two people done it, but one of the guys was, I was working at a coal tipple. It was some refurbishing a coal tipple, and there was an older guy there, and somebody said, hey, would you go get me a bottle of oxygen or acetylene or something? And so I went down, and I didn't see no dollies heavy, so I did what most young guys that think that they can do anything did. I just bent down and threw the thing up on my shoulder, and here I go up the stairs with this on my shoulders, and I'm getting up there because I'm tough and I'm strong and I'm young and you can't hurt me. And I get up there and set it down, and there was this old guy says, can I give you a piece of advice? Well, I never was belligerent for the most part. I wasn't going to be belligerent about it or anything like that. But most usually, I don't really need your advice is the attitude that we have. But this guy said, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. we have a dolly made to carry those with. And he said, you're young now, but when you get to my age, you'll wish you'd have took that dolly. Because I have all the I did it too. And you know what I'm saying? He said, I did it too. And right out there on the porch of this, Brother Hargraves walks out one night after service. He was having a revival here. And he was telling me about what was going on in his body. And he said, young man, can I give you a piece of advice? Sure, Brother Hargrave. Take care of your body. It's the only one you got. He said, I'm in the place that I'm in now because I didn't take care of mine. Those words have wisdom to them. Their wisdom's future. Maybe they're only for this natural body, but it still plays true. But it is also true for spiritual life. God is going to be faithful to you. And in the weeks and times to come, your wisdom is in the balance. God will teach you. I believe that. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is given and He will lead us to this life and teach us. And the moments that the Lord brings into our life are counselors for wisdom. It's trying to teach us the value between spiritual things and worldly things, earthly things. The Lord is trying to teach us to have a value on those things. And so when we get to the end, which one are we going to be holding the value to? How is it going to be in the end? Is it going to come down to the end? And the Lord gives us these words in the Scriptures. And He gives us all these things in the Scriptures. And there was these people that come to the Lord and they said, have I not cast out devils in thy name? Have I not done all of these things? And the Lord said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What? How could this be? You say, depart from me. Did I not do these things? All these things? You didn't follow wisdom. Wisdom was trying to tell you that that's not going to save you. Wisdom trying to teach you that there's a relationship with the Lord you're going to have. There is a place to where you're going to... Listen, my wisdom, for whatever it is not going to work for you. You can't give me of your wisdom. Oh, we can counsel one another and do those things. But there's a place that the Lord wants us to have the understanding in our own hearts. You know, there's a lot of things that the Lord teaches us that you can't explain. There is an experience with the Lord that goes almost without... How can you tell someone about the working of the Lord in you? How can you really express things like that? Proverbs 8 says of wisdom as a person. It puts a personage to the idea of wisdom and says, is wisdom not crying in the street? What it means is there's something evident about wisdom. And wisdom is crying in the streets and saying, but nobody, yelling, crying. But no one's listening to the cry. Oh, it's crying to our government officials. It's crying to our world. Unrighteousness is taking you the wrong way. Going away from God is taking you the wrong way. It's taking you into taking you into this decadent society without meaning. You can try to fulfill people's lives by telling them there's an alternative life. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. Take counsel, O world. Wisdom's crying in the street. What are these people doing? Killing themselves? Being miserable? What is the answer? Give me some answer to the problems out there. The wisdom's crying in the street. You better change the way you do things. Wisdom cries, young man, don't go down that street. There's danger down there for you. Oh, I'm young and I'm strong and I can do anything. Wisdom cries. You know, it's kind of like Samson. Samson was this young guy and the Spirit of the Lord would come on him and, And, you know, for young boys, this was, I was always fascinated by this. You know, the guy, he gets a jawbone of a donkey and kills 1,000 Philistines or something like that. And then the Spirit of the Lord comes on him. He yanks the city gate off the, that's pretty impressive stuff, packs it off. You all mess with me, I'll just take your gate up on the hill. You know, it's really impressive stuff. Samson, don't go down there to Delilah. You big, strong guy, and the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, and you're impressive, but that woman's going to get you. Wisdom says, Samson, you're going to be destroyed. Don't do that. Don't go that way. There's a process in wisdom where you want to know the truth. The most wise people that I know had some qualities to them, and I'm not saying this is exclusive, because it's not to that. But the wisest people I know wasn't overly educated. The wise people that I know were the people that fully committed themselves to the Lord. There was a wisdom about them. There was something about it. You know where wisdom seems to have sprung from? It seemed to have sprung from humility. A wise person is a humble person. It just always is. They go hand in glove. They're humble because a humble person will take instructions. They'll get what they have in things. They'll look at it and say, humble says I need something. Proud says I don't need anything. Humble says that I need something here. What is it that you're trying to teach me? What do you want to do? Oh, take counsel. And heed counsel and take instruction. This is where it starts, and it'll start now for your later time. There'll be a time that you're going to need to be in this place to where you understand something in your own heart and life, where you're not, it's not words, it's not those things, it's where you understand God has helped me and God is in this. Wisdom says that God has been in here too. So Solomon, he asked for wisdom, and the Lord granted him wisdom. He also granted him all of these other things because he had asked for wisdom, and he became a man that could understand. You remember, very wise, I think, of him to be able to discern when the woman killed the child. You remember, and I remember, and when I was a boy growing up, we had a family Bible, and I like to go through and look at the pictures. And one of the scenes was the man holding the soldier holding the baby by the foot with the sword drawn. And the mother's there, like, you know what I'm saying? Solomon's sitting in the throne, making this judgment that it was the understanding of the very nature of things. You know, it's not overly important that I understand your nature, but it can be really important that I understand mine. It can be really important that I understand who I am and what is causing me to react to the things that I do. God wants to be able to deal with us about the things in our lives. I don't want to accept the fact that I've been a Christian for 50 years and I still have these things wrong with me. I have these things that's never been conquered and never did, because I think the Lord wants to give me the wisdom, the understandings of these things that I can testify God has taken these things and helped me with them. Over in Luke, this is very familiar scripture. I want Matthew 25, not Luke. Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." Now, we got to get this. God put this in here for a reason. This seems to be particularly to believers. There's no indication here of anything outside the realms of believers. 10 virgins, 10 people that had a cause, 10 people that was involved there. But yet 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 of them never got to the understanding of the seriousness of their souls. Lord, help us. How serious are you about your soul? because this is the seriousness of our souls. Five of them were wise, and they somewhere they took counsel. Somewhere they followed instructions. Somewhere they understood, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Be prepared. Be ready. Gather while you can gather. Get while you can get. Because there'll be a time come, it's going to be too late for the gathering. Make sure you got it now. Make sure of your calling and your election. Sure. Lord, give us wisdom to understand the spiritual realms the way we understand the physical realms. My woodshed is full, folks, with another pile of wood over there and a lot more cut. Why? Because it may start snowing. No, forget the May stuff. Only if the Lord don't come back. If the Lord don't come back sometime between now and next April, it's going to get cold. Or at least it has in my 60 years of living. So the wisdom would say, get ready. Wisdom told five of these, that's why they're said wise. Wisdom told five of these that I'm going to have to meet the bridegroom. Five of them had the wisdom to say, I'm going to have to meet God. What do you think about meeting God this morning? That's awesome. That's terrible. That's serious. I'm going to have to stand. I'm going to have to stand before God. Five of them understood. You know, the scriptures is telling us all the way through, be ye therefore ready. You're going to have to be ready. Five were wise. And five, you give me liberty to do it, say this, but five were wise and five were foolish. They were all virgins. I don't think you could line them up and pick the wise from the foolish. And I don't believe that they had a different life from one another. I think the point of this scripture is to say that they all had the same opportunity in life. They were the same people. They were in the same life. They were in the same category of life. What the ones experienced, the others experienced. What the ones read, the other ones read. What song one of them heard, the other one heard. Understand what I'm saying? There was five wise and five foolish, and they all came to the same thing. Five of them said, give me counsel. I want to go to heaven. Give me counsel. You know, I must say that asking God for wisdom, I believe, is a lot like asking for patience. Hang on. Ask God for wisdom and then hang on so He can bring it to you. Because He's going to bring it in some way. You know what I'm saying? David's out there one time and a man, a descendant of Saul, I think it was, comes and starts cursing him. Lord, give me counsel. But not from that man. No, wait a minute. Lord, how do you choose to give me wisdom? Here comes a man that says, curse David. And David's response is, give me counsel. Maybe the Lord has said, curse David. Maybe I need to think about my own experience. Maybe I need to think about my own life here. Maybe there was something in me that ought to have been cursed. Maybe I had a bad attitude about that. No, it's the other person's fault. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you ought to check yourself out. You know, that's wisdom. Five were wise, and they took the oil because somewhere in their lives they saw the necessity of it. They were called wise for it. Give me counsel and give me instructions. They got that and they said, yes, Lord, to the counsel. Yes, to the instructions. It's going to cost me more now. I'm going to have to do it while they're having fun playing. I'm going to be in process. But when I stand before God, I'm going to have oil in my vessels. That's the message today. I'm going to have oil in my vessels, and now is the time for the oil gathering. Now is the time to be filling the vessel with oil. Do you ever ask the Lord what you got in your life? Well, maybe you don't need to. Maybe you know. And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't know yourself as well as you think you do. And maybe there's places in your life that the Lord wants to give you wisdom. Now, maybe using that a little different than you think of. But isn't that really what wisdom is? Isn't wisdom really having oil in your vessel? They were wise because it produced something in their lives. And so, just read the rest of this, or some of it. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Don't look much difference than the other ones, does it? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. I wonder, it doesn't say they didn't, that the foolish didn't have vessels, did it? It just said they didn't have oil in it. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Oh, sleeping's a natural thing. You can sleep if you got oil in your lamps or in your vessels. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." I'm going to say what I think this means in a kind of a deeper way. It was wisdom that got the oil in the vessel. And how could I possibly give you that? If the lessons of life didn't get it for you, if the scripture, the word of God, didn't give it to you, if your own experience with the Lord did not give you that, then how could anyone give it to you? We have time, thank the Lord. As far, don't know how much time, but we have time yet. The time is the time of gathering. The time is time for wisdom to take the counsel. As the scripture in Proverbs said, that we might have, that we might be wise in the end. Because it's wise in the end that's going to matter. That's what's going to really make the difference, is to be wise in the end of it. You know, sometimes the Lord comes by and corrects, and he has different ways of doing it. God can correct you through the conviction of your own heart. God can do it with a message. God can do it with a person. God can do it with your enemy. But God can bring it. God can bring it through your dog. God can bring it through a lesson in life. God can bring the lesson that we need to know, the understanding that we need to have. God can bring that lesson into our life if we're listening and paying attention to what the Lord wants to do. He wants to bring this wisdom to us, so at the end, at the final end, I've got the wisdom. And the wisdom means that there's oil in my lamp. Hard for us to really get a hold of this, but preparation for the next life is more important than preparation for this life. That's wisdom. It's a cry. It's the cry of the end, that you might be wise at the end, meaning I have taken care of my eternal destiny. That's the only wisdom that's really going to matter at the end. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.